Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come with real joy and delight as we meditate upon the Word of God. I'm so thrilled at some of the letters I receive where people are receiving such blessing from the Lord. In fact, I'm greatly encouraged to know that the Lord is using this means of communication for the reaching of so many of His people, for the building up of His people, and for the salvation of souls. And even though primarily our ministry is to believers, nevertheless, we rejoice in the fact that there are some listening in who really come to know the Lord. And for this, we praise Him. Now we're in the book of Matthew chapter 6, and we've been dealing with the question in our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, the inaugural address of the King, something about certain principles that have to do with those who claim to belong to Him. As you know, He's been dealing with those who can call Him Father. And no one has a right to call Jesus Christ His Savior and God His Father without personal relationship with them. And when one accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then you have the right to say that He's your Father. You can cry, Abba, Father. But that also not only gives you life and relationship and forgiveness, but it also brings responsibility as His children still in the world to glorify Him among men. Now, in our last lesson, we were taking up the question of motives. Our motive in giving, our motive in praying, our motive in fasting. And putting all three together, you have this question of a heart attitude, a heart in love with the Savior. We give because we love. We pray because we love to be in His presence. We fast because we want nothing to hinder our heart's devotion to Him. Now we come to the question of having to do with daily needs. Can the Lord take care of me 24 hours a day? You know, I've oftentimes said this and I repeat it. It's an amazing thing to me that Christians today can rejoice in the fact that they have eternal life and that God has saved them forever. They can trust their souls to an eternal God for eternity. But we can't trust Him 24 hours a day for the various simple things of life. This is a call for faith, a call for trust, a call for confidence in our Heavenly Father. Does He really love me? Does He really love you? Then He'll care for you. He'll care for you. We're going to see that in a moment. Now notice, please, in verses 19 down through verse 24, we have this question of mammon, of only serving one. You can't serve God and mammon. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now remember that in our Lord's day and for centuries, treasures could take up gold or silver or so many changes of raiment. You remember if you read your Old Testament, for example, here was Naaman the leper who came to the prophet and he had so many changes of raiment to give. This was a reward. Now, we don't do that these days, but they did then. Our Lord picks that up when He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where the moth will corrupt your changes of raiment, and rust will corrupt your gold and your silver, and where thieves break through and steal. It's very simple for this. Of course, I needn't spend time there because you know what thieves do. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Now, you notice, we are to lay up treasure. There's nothing wrong about laying up treasure, whether it be on earth or whether it be in heaven. The problem is, why do you lay up treasure? Are you going to be a real steward of the grace of God and of the things God has given to you? Now, he starts out in the chapter with the question of giving. Now, he picks it up again. Don't you lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt? Or if you did leave a lot behind you, someone else is going to use it. Someone as well said you come into the world naked and you go out naked. You can't take anything with you. You came in empty, you'll go out empty, as far as this world is concerned. I say the Lord is not opposing anyone laying up treasure, that is, being a good provider, and so on and so forth. But is that where your heart is? This is the thing he's after. Is your heart right in the very things you have? Some men have lost their homes and their families and their wives and all the rest of it because of their great yearning and passion in business to lay up treasure, to be successful. When it's all over, they're gone. You see, there's nothing wrong with laying up treasure, but what is your motive? What's your motive as you go along on this thing? Don't lay it up for moths and rust, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Do the things that when you get back, when you get to glory, you will have something there more than just being saved. I suggest 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from about verse 11 on through. Do you remember? No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid. If you lay on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, the day shall declare it. Every man's work shall be tried by fire. Wood, hay, stubble will be burned up. The gold, silver, precious stones will remain. What are you living for? What are you gathering treasure for? What are you getting material gain for? What's your motive? This is what the Lord is after. Which leads us to say in verse 22 and 23, he follows along the same thought. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Again, you get right down. If your motive is right, then your eye is single. Whether it's in your business, or in your church, or in your home, or your social life, are you living for God? Is he the object of your life? The things you do, are you doing it for his glory? This makes your eyes single, and your whole body shall be full of light. But if my eye is evil, what do you mean by that? All kind of, you've got something in your eye, you can't see straight, you're half blind, and hence your whole life is twisted, your whole life is in the dark. You don't know what a day may bring forth. You've got no guidelines in your life. And so many Christians are just like that. Christ is not even seen. There's a great manifestation of the fact that they're ignorant of God and their love for the Savior is very, 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 very weak. What is your eye? What is the motive of your heart, of your life? This is what our Savior is after. And through the whole chapter, he's getting right down to your heart. Not what men see, what God sees. Too many of us are acting and living on the ground of what men say, what men think, what men see. My friend, the Lord wants you to live because he sees, because he knows, because he understands. Don't live your life just because of what men think about you. Live your life what God thinks about you. I tell you, a lot of things in our lives would go out the window if we just for a moment were to stop and think, why am I doing these things? What's the purpose of my life? What's the driving force in my life? Is it the glory of God? Is it the manifestation of Christ to men? What is it? If it's not that, my friend, then your eye can be evil. That is, you get distorted vision. And you're half blind. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what God wants you to do. Which leads to the very next statement. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you're laying up treasure on earth, where moth and rust spoils it, who is your God? Who is your master? Your treasure or God? You can't serve God and mammon. Or putting it in, as I've been speaking about this, putting it this way, are you living your life for the glory of God or are you living a life controlled by what men see, what men say, and what men do? Oh, how many Christians, and I say this very kindly, I want to say it humbly, I want to say it in love, how many of us, oftentimes, our lives are controlled too much by what people might think, what people might say, what people might do. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, starting in at verse 25, you have the conclusion of it. Therefore, I say unto you. Now, notice this. And now he's talking about my daily needs. Take no thought for your life. You have it in verse 28. Take no thought for raiment. You have it in verse 31. Take no thought, saying. Now, I need to change that wording. Don't worry for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what your body is going to put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Then he illustrates this. Behold the fowl of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? If God can take care of the birds, who know nothing about money, nothing about work, every day they've got to depend upon God. And they're just so trustful, they know that the Lord will take care of them. They sow not, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. What about you? You're his children. And if the Lord will take care of the birds and fowl of the air, will he not take care of you? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? You couldn't if you wanted to. You'd like to be 6'5"? No, you are just what you are, and you can't add to it. What I'm trying to say to you, my friend, God is the only one who can change you. You can't add even an inch to your stature. But he can if he wants to. He's your heavenly Father. And if he takes care of the birds, as we used to say, take care of the very sparrows. Do you remember one time our Lord said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Yet not one falls to the ground, but your heavenly Father knows all about it. Are you of not much more value than many sparrows? Someone has said that the Lord attends the funeral of sparrows. Oh, how he takes care of the birds. And you mean more to him than all the birds put together. He sent his Son to die for you. You are the object of his love. You are his purchased possession. So don't worry. Don't worry, my friend. Now, does that mean I've got to sit down and twiddle my thumbs? No, of course not. God's given you a head. God's given you brains. God's given you circumstances. He's given you strength. He's given you will. He's given you these gifts to be used. But your Father, in the final analysis, it's your Father who takes care of you. And then he takes up the question of clothing. And why do you worry about clothes? And I know a lot of folk worry about clothes, not mentioning any names, you know. And I'm not talking only about ladies either. Men and women, we like good clothes, don't we? At least some do. Take no thought for your raiment. Don't worry about your clothes. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you, that even Solomon in all his glory, with all his robes on, and the gold and the silver and the jewels and the crowns, and no man was arrayed any better, more beautiful, than Solomon. And yet the Lord said that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies of the field. And by the way, if you want to know the difference, you take a microscope on what man puts on and take a microscope on what God has clothed, and believe me, you'll see the difference. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow was cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? If he takes care of the lilies of the field, will he take care of you? The Lord is just taking illustrations just around him when he's talking to his disciples. There were the lilies in front of him. That were the birds of the air. The third one. Wherefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles of the world seek after. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereon. Will you please notice the illustrations that the Lord gives concerning the love of our Father, the care that our Father gives to His creation. And if God gives so much care to His creation, what do you think He'll not do for His children? No wonder Paul could say in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, you remember, when he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put God first. God will take care of the rest of it. What He wants is you. Again, we come back to the whole chapter. Your motive in giving, your motive in praying, your motive in fasting, your motive in laying up treasure, your motive in your life. Is it for the glory of God? Is it because you love Him? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, and it's certainly a sure promise, all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry, your Father knows exactly what you have need of. He knows better than you do. You know, people worry about tomorrow, and they're worrying about next month, and they worry about next year. And yet the evil that they worry about may never come. And if evil does come, your Father knows all about it, and He's able to supply and meet your need. In other words, my friend, there's no place to worry. Whatever His will is, it's always the best thing for you. Even our sorrow, He turns into blessing. Our suffering, He turns into joy. Why? Because He loves you. What our Savior here is saying through the whole chapter, your motive in giving, in praying, in fasting is to be for the Lord. And day by day, we should trust Him. And as one dear missionary says, He not only takes care of me every minute of the day, but even between the minutes. But seek ye first, here it is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My friend, am I talking to you and you're worried about things? Why don't you trust the Savior? There are a lot of Christians today who are full of fear, full of worry. They're worried about what's going to happen in the world. They're worried what's going to happen in our nation. As Christians, we should trust the Savior every hour of the day. For our needs, yes. Above all, for our heart's affection for Him. And if He has made you and me the objects of His affection and love, oh, Christian friend, God grant we'll reciprocate and make Him the center of our affection and our devotion. And the Lord bless you abundantly today for His name's sake.